Facebook plans to abruptly shrink your social media world. The first new car showroom for women in Saudi Arabia. And you have to do some homework to make sure your paycheck is right once the new tax law hits next month. I'm David Brancaccio in New York. Facebook has announced that it's reworking its algorithm for its more than 2 billion users. The social network will now prioritize posts that spark what it calls meaningful social interactions, especially among friends, and demote content pushed by companies. Marketplace's Mariel Segarra has been following this.
When you log into Facebook, the landing page is called your news feed, and there's an algorithm that determines what shows up at the top. Is it the vacation pictures grandma just posted? Is it the political meme or the video from that news website you follow? Facebook has said for a while that it prioritizes posts from your friends over the ones from public pages set up by companies or brands. Now it's going a step further to prioritize posts that lead to substantive interactions, you know, back and forth discussions among friends, long comments. Maybe that's a post from a friend who's asking for recommendations from a trip, or they're posting a link to a news story that prompts discussion. Facebook CEO Mark Zuckerberg says the point is to make the time people spend on Facebook more valuable, even if that means they spend less time on the platform.
All right. Well, I love my friends, but this could be a problem for the companies that use public Facebook pages to reach people.
Yeah. And a lot of organizations do. You know, media companies share their stories. Nonprofits look for donations. Small businesses try to find customers. And they're used to Facebook tweaking its newsfeed algorithm. But this is going to make it harder for a lot of them. Facebook acknowledges that. It says these groups' pages might see their reach and their referral traffic drop. But it points out that if the posts on these pages spark conversation between Facebook friends, there will be less of an effect.
All right. Marketplace's Mariel Segarra, thank you. Let me check the live markets here. The 100-share index in London is up 0.2%. Dow, S&P, and NASDAQ futures are up at the moment. In the case of the S&P future, up 0.2%. In the case of the Dow future, up 0.4%. The first new car showroom for women has opened in Saudi Arabia following the sweeping away of the kingdom's ban on women drivers. It has been decreed that people with two X chromosomes will be allowed behind the wheel starting this summer. Here's more from the BBC's Middle East analyst, Alan Johnston.
Women have been milling around the new showroom in a shopping mall in the city of Jeddah. They've been examining cars, climbing into the driving seats and getting a feel for the controls. Rights activists saw the ban on women drivers as emblematic of the suppression of Saudi's female citizens. Its removal is a sign that this deeply conservative Muslim nation is starting to change. In another small indication of this, later on Friday, women will, for the first time, be allowed to join the crowd at a professional football match.
Alan Johnston with our partner broadcaster, the BBC. Personal finance, important. The first paychecks reflecting the tax overhaul should hit around February 15th, and the government is saying don't just trust your payroll department to get it right. The White House is saying it will eventually post an online calculator to help you figure out any adjustments to fix your withholding amounts. Those with simpler tax situations may not have to make adjustments, but millions will. Catch number one, the government is asking businesses to use outdated tax forms to help prepare for this rush job. Catch number two, the online calculator for us taxpayers won't be ready until next month. If this is hard for you, then spare a thought for the beleaguered Internal Revenue Service. It's lost a big chunk of its workforce. Its $11 billion budget has been cut by nearly a fifth. Marketplace's Nancy Marshall-Genzer has this musical tribute.
I know stories about the IRS aren't everybody's favorite, so I brought in someone special to help me tell this story. Someone who was there for the IRS when its troubles began.
I could hardly believe it when I heard the news today. Congress cut your budget right in two.
Yes, that's 80s soft rock superstar Michael Bolton serenading the IRS with a love song on Last Week Tonight with John Oliver.
Tell me, how are we supposed to live without you? We cut your budget
Bolton actually sang that song in 2015. Unfortunately for the IRS, it's every bit as relevant today. The agency could be looking at hundreds of millions of dollars more in budget cuts this fiscal year, and
they got staffing problems too. Their recruitment numbers are at best a little flat.
Actually, they're beyond flat. There's no permanent head of the agency. Nearly 21,000 IRS jobs have disappeared since 2010, including lots of auditors, whose dedication to unearthing every last dollar brings a lot of money into the U.S. Treasury. Sing it, Michael.
How are we supposed to live without you? And how do we pay for everything we need?
Good question. When it's going to take close to $500 million in the next couple of years just to implement the tax overhaul, according to the agency's national taxpayer advocate. That's for things like new software, forms, and employee training. Larry Gibbs knows something about wringing more money out of Congress. He's not much of a singer, but he was head of the IRS the last time we did tax reform, in 1986.
If someone is looking for love, being the commissioner of the Internal Revenue Service is not a very good job.
Still, Gibbs managed to convince Congress to give the IRS the money it needed to pull off the 86 overhaul with this argument.
Every dollar invested in the Internal Revenue Service at that time returned to the federal government somewhere between $5 and $7.
That still holds and could come in handy if you've just added more than $1 trillion to the deficit with a big tax cut. In Washington, I'm Nancy Marshall-Genzer for Marketplace.
Did I just see you swaying to the Michael Bolton? Our executive producer is Nicole Childers. Our digital producer is Janet Wynn. Our engineer this week is Brian Allison. Betsy Streisand was the editor responsible for that last piece. I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.